Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Hello, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and today we're going to have a really interesting conversation with Dr. Rachel Sand. Hey, Rachel, are you there?
Yay! Hello, I'm here.
Yay, there she is. Hey, girl, how's it going?
Oh, so well. Very happy to be talking with you guys. Thanks.
Oh, and thank you for joining us here at the cafe. We love to have you. So I'm going to give a little background to Miss Rachel and see everybody kind of knows. We're going to be talking about holistic psychotherapy today, which is, everybody's like, oh, gosh, what's that? But actually, it's been around for a long time, right? How long has psychotherapy been been practicing?
Well, you could go back to people practicing in their villages. There'd always be the wise person that people would go to consult and deal with their problems in the village. You can go to Freud, and that's, 1800s, 1900s, really focusing on the psyche, the mind part of therapy. And then it kind of developed into behavioral stuff. So, why do humans do what they do? The study of human behavior. So holistic stuff, holistic psychotherapy stuff, all the pieces of that have been going for thousands of years. We're just kind of adding it to psychology now.
Oh, I think that's so great. It's like, why would anybody want to do that? Like, we're getting into the mind. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That could be, that's a sticky wicket. There we go. So many things going on with that. So let me go ahead and finish this bio. She's a psychotherapist with a private health psychology practice specializing in balancing the mind, body, and instincts towards natural well-being. I'd love to talk to you about that a little bit more. She is passionate about helping her clients find balance in their lives, clearing their fears and limiting beliefs, and learning to listen and trust their instincts. Dr. Sand is trained in traditional clinical psychology, hypnosis, EMDR, which is a rapid movement desensitization. How do I say this? Is that right?
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, desensitization, reprocessing.
Reprocessing, you got it.
Yeah, it's EMDR. And
exactly.
Has an emphasis on cognitive behavior therapy approaches with energy psychology technique. She's a member of the American Psychological Association, the APA, Maryland Psychological Association, Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychologists, and Amy's also a member of that. So hopefully our other co-host, Ms. Amy, will be joining us. And National Institute of Clinical Applications of Behavioral Science, the NICABBM. Oh, my gosh.
You know what they call it?
But just all your credentials. That's pretty cool.
It's crazy, and they call it NICBOM. Just to let you know, which it doesn't. It's even hard to say when you mix all the letters together. So yeah,
NICBOM. Yeah. Okay. I was telling. Hi, Amy. Miss Amy's joining us. Hey, Amy. How are you today?
Yay, Amy.
I'm in need of some help. I've been here, but I've been ignored. I need a holistic psychologist.
It's a good thing Dr.
Right
Sand is in the house.
Thank God.
So I'm just ready to jump into this. So I was looking a little bit at some of the wonderful information you have online, and just to kind of as a background thing too, Rachel has a radio show that she had done for a little while that's got all kinds of really wonderful programs on there. So you want to talk about that a little bit, Rachel?
Yeah, what I tried to do, it's the same thing that you are doing, in that people are curious about holistic psychotherapy. It sounds like more than talk therapy, which is exactly what it is. So, regular psychology, I'm just going to, talk in like general terms, really focuses on the mind, the psyche, the mind, everything has to do with the mind, and the mind, what you're thinking, affects your behavior, affects your emotions, affects your life. The holistic stuff assumes that you're a whole organism. Everything's interrelated. So your mind's related to how your body's doing. How your body is doing affects how you think, and all of that affects how you feel, and they all interact together. So most people can kind of focus on physical, emotional, thoughts, and you have a preference for one or the other, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So in the radio show, I try to introduce what really affects a person, what other modalities are there that help you heal and balance and listen to yourself, what are other people doing out there to heal and enjoy their lives, and what are people exploring, because that affects how they are functioning in their own lives. So tried to go with that on the radio show. Sometimes we went off on fun topics. Sometimes they were really mainstream, and just had a variety going there.
Well, we have a tendency to go off on tangents in the show, so, but that's a good thing, I think.
Which is fun.
Part of being in the cafe, and we just kind of like, let's do a 180. Sometimes we have to get back on track, but that's okay. So Amy, do you have anything you'd like to be kind of sharing with our group here in the cafe about Dr. Rachel? She's known her for a little while, and just your any insights you'd like to share?
Well, I enjoy watching her in action. She, a lot of times it may look like she's just being there and being present, but there's a whole lot of other things going on, and she is just amazing to watch in action. And I get the question all the time. I'll say, oh, she's a holistic psychologist, and they look at me like a dog watching TV. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have her on, because like, I have no response to that. So I thought it'd be good. Now I'll have a response.
Exactly. This is how I describe it to people. People who want to know, right? So I'm going to do this with you guys. So when someone really wants to know, and they're not just being dismissive, because holistic sounds woo-woo-y. You know, it sounds really alternative. And in holistic psychotherapy, we do use alternative or complementary services, things that, you know, like massage or acupuncture or yoga therapy. You might be referred to that. You try to balance out your system. But let me pull back a little bit. People, and think of yourselves right now because it makes the example easier. People either love exploring intellectually. They love talking. They love, you know, coming to new insights. Or they may have a tendency to really express themselves emotionally so they can describe their emotions in every moment of every day. You know, how did you feel when you saw that the sky was blue? How do you feel about driving in traffic? You know, their emotions are right there. They can just express instantly. And other people really focus on their bodies. So they may not care about their beliefs. They may not really be keyed into their emotions. If they feel off, they'll go for a run. And the run will really balance them out. They're right. They balanced out their bodies, and they felt better. So in holistic psychotherapy, we really look at how the person likes to be generally in their lives, you know, how they approach their lives. And then we match the therapies and the tools to that tendency. So when I'm describing that, usually people can picture themselves like, oh, I love to talk anything to death, or, yeah, I don't like talking, but I can't stop feeling the world. I feel colors, I feel, you know, it's just a constant feeling kind of thing. And other people could care less about that, and they're really focused on physical health and how their bodies are doing. We want to merge all of that together. So ultimately, you want to be able to listen to what you're thinking.
It's interesting you say that, because when you were listing those three things, I thought, well, I'm kind of like I do like all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's good.
Everyone does. Everyone does, right? So then the next thing, and this is what I would do like an initial session, and the next thing I say, how do people describe you? Do they describe you as a talker? Do they describe you as really dramatic, which is the emotion part? Or do they describe you really into your physical health? You know, and often that can kind of give you that window. Or, and here's the lovely part, you may be completely balanced, because that is the goal. It's a balancing moment to moment using all the feedback of your wonderful organism, your whole self. So if you're doing that, then you know your emotions will tell you if something's right or wrong for you. You know you'll feel it in your body if something hits you hard or something's, you know, off or something is really for you. You feel ecstatic, your body will let you feel that. And you know if you're repetitively thinking about something that's really annoying and it's not really true for you. So if you're aware of those areas, you're generally pretty happy and healthy. It's when we kind of stick to one area a little too much that we, as I call them, it gets yucky or we get a little ouchy. And I can give you some examples. So Amy, when I'm describing that stuff, does one of those areas, you know, bump out to you? Are you like, oh, I love talking, or no, I love physical health? Is there anything that you're, yeah, that's me.
You know, for me, it is really much, depending on the situation, it would be different. Because I know I have to be very careful because I have a really high tolerance for pain, which I have developed. And so I know that that's there for me, but a lot of times I mask it. So I'll go to the others because I made those more easily accessible. But I think that's what I've been working on more is this, because I turned that out.
And it may be that the physical ultimately tells you things faster. You know, it will be clearer over time. Usually the one that isn't our first choice is the one that's what you learn about it. It's much easier, clearer to hear. Oh, that's a yes, that's a no. You can feel it in your body easily. Yeah. So again, people kind of, what I do is I say, somebody, if they're talking to me, they're curious, so they want to explore, or something's bugging them. You know, a thought, emotion, a physical pain, something's bugging them, and they want to know what else is there. So by the time somebody comes to me, they've tried talk therapy, or, they're already in treatment with their physician, they're doing physical therapy, you know, that all the things are in place that they should be doing, and there's not a lot of change happening. So they want to know, you know, what else is there? And that's usually when I have people coming in. Or if somebody came to me and like, wow, that went really fast. I'm going to have you see my mother now. word of mouth. Because in the holistic stuff, it tends to go a little faster than traditional therapy because you're really focusing in all the different areas of a person. And what I like about the holistic approach is it very much includes the actual person you're working with. They vote on everything. They, you know, here's five tools. Which one do you want to use first? Or you're trying one, you don't like it. We switch to something else. It involves your preferences, your focus, what you think would be enjoyable to try, which isn't necessarily a word that comes up in traditional therapy. What sounds like more fun to try when you're already feeling anxious or depressed? That's not usually a question. It is more in holistic psychotherapy. What are you drawn to? What seems to fit you? And you vote on that, kind of building the idea that you listen to yourself, you have all the answers, you just need some more tools.
So I have a question for you, Rachel. There just seem to be a tendency in the gender to be one more, maybe more talkative or more physical or whatever, or is that just person-to-person kind of thing?
You know, I'm thinking the people that I mean, generally, officially, more women go to therapy. That's just, an attraction to actually healing and insight and also a lot of courage I'm going to throw out there for the women. I've noticed that the men that come to therapy, usually they've gotten their attention, you know, there's really a focus on them from the outside world, meaning the wife is complaining about something they do. Or they're unhappy at their work. They're not liking the feedback they're getting in the workplace. You know, there's something that says, hey, something's going on. You should go check it out. So usually that brings them into therapy. That or physical pain. So, yes, I would say that's a top one.
Well, that's
men.
Definitely a messenger. Instead of being a nagging wife, it's your body nagging at you.
Yes, yes, which is scary. So that will bring you in. You know, your body loves telling you something's off. It's just that's one of your body's jobs to say, hey, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're doing is not true for you. That's all. That is simply saying it. If you don't listen, I'm going to get louder and louder and louder, and now we're going to have a lot of pain or a big problem. And, in the holistic field, it's listen as soon as you can so that it doesn't develop into a big problem.
Well, I was listening to one of your radio shows on holistic psychotherapy, and you were talking about the different kinds of talk, you know, mind talk, body talk, spirit talk, gut talk. I was really intrigued with the gut talk about that. If you could talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
About the gut talk, like the ear instincts. I mean, generally, that's how you want to, you know, people use that phrase. They're not sure what to call it. So in holistic psychotherapy and really anything holistic, the part that makes people nervous is when you say your instincts or your spiritual side, that knowing part of you. And often in our society, our Western society, we just call it gut instinct, you know, or your gut talk. It will tell you something's right or wrong for you. The easiest way to pick that up for people is, and I've used the gut for a reason, and so do people in the culture, is you will have a physical sensation about whether something is right or wrong for you. You'll get a clenching, or you'll get a quick anxiety feeling. You'll get a physical response to yes or no. And ultimately, it doesn't matter why it's yes or no. It matters that you listened to that quick response. Also, that response kind of bypasses your mind. So you can have a lot of should rules or a lot of, you know, hey, this is the way the world is, or this is what I'm like, or here are my preferences. You know, if I asked you to describe yourself, you'd be tapping into a version or a vision of what you think you are like. When you have that gut instinct activated, it's not interacting with your mind. It's saying, whoa, yes, or no, don't do it, or don't go there, or don't hang out with those people, don't take that job, that kind of thing. Or an absolute yes, that gut instinct is like an opening feeling or a relief feeling, or sometimes it's a magnet kind of pulling you into something. You're really drawn to something, and it feels very physical. And then your mind comes back online and goes, oh, yeah, I guess I'll look at that. So that timing's important. That gut response is picking up a lot of things from other people and in the environment. Subtle things, subtle cues that your mind will use, but your body really registered it first. Does that make sense to you? It's a really fast, you know, almost like a survival mode kind of thing. Like, is this environment safe? It is? Okay. Then I'll enjoy. Is it not safe? Yeah, I'm going to pull back. That's your gut.
That sounds fascinating. If you look at the basics of like what a regular, the benefits of like mainstream psychology as opposed to holistic psychology, and are a lot of just mainstream psychologists using some of these tools that the holistic ones are?
They are. They're using them naturally. They wouldn't necessarily describe themselves as holistic. But I think anybody, and you know, this is personal experience, and also, you know, being at these conferences, as you listed all those groups I'm a part of, you know, people who are interested in helping other people heal explore, and they explore and find what works. And when something isn't working, they explore some more. So they know that, you know, physical health affects your body. Are they going to say that's what they focus on? Not necessarily, but if someone's referred, you know, they had a heart attack, when you have a heart attack, often you'll get depressed, not because you had a heart attack, it's just similar chemicals. So a lot of times they'll put you on, you know, antidepressants in the hospital because they know your chemistry is off, and it will help you heal faster. So someone can come to therapy, you know, because they've had a heart attack, their lives are changing. That psychologist is going to include that information and address that information. So it's kind of, it really depends on how committed and wedded to your therapy approach you are. So someone who's psychoanalytic, which is, you know, the therapy takes years and it's designed to kind of pull you apart and then put you back together in a new combination. And it really focuses on unconscious issues and childhood issues. It, you know, really goes in depth. They're not necessarily going to focus on the physical. They've got a job to do. It's very clear there's a protocol for it, and they're going to follow that protocol. So somebody, and this is if you're out in the real world and you're looking for more holistic approaches, but there's nobody around you that says they specialize in that, you're going to look for a psychologist that says they specialize in eclectic approaches, which means there's not one protocol they use. And if you, you know, looked them up online, they said, you know, I use cognitive behavioral therapy and some self-psychology and some humanistic. These are all words you would throw in for holistic. Gestalt, it means they try to match their techniques to the person that comes in. So automatically they're more holistic. Okay. Now, will they refer to outside complementary things? Not necessarily. That has to do with the personality of the psychologist. So down the road, that is part of holistic psychotherapy. It's much more integrative. And I think psychology as a whole is moving towards that, you know, working with the other people and practitioners that are important to your clients. So if you want that interaction, the therapy goes faster, the healing goes faster. And we, you know, talk about like trying to heal from a trauma or something's off or you feel stuck. You know, there's also therapy for having the best life you can have and excelling in what you do. And Amy, I know you work sometimes, you know, with work, you know, that whole topic of work addiction and career. And, you know, people also want to function better and be happier and balanced, not just heal from something that hurt them a long time ago. So there's a lot, there's an expansion to this holistic psychotherapy that includes just really enjoying your life. And how do you do that? And how do you listen to yourself and balance out yourself moment to moment? So that's where all this leads.
Yeah, that was a wonderful segue because I was going to say, well, you know, isn't there a place for just a wellness program with something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So say you don't necessarily think you've got any major issues, but you are wanting to be, you know, like looking, you know, in some ways, would you be somebody who could be a personal, you know, a motivational coach for somebody, or is that kind of a totally different thing?
No, coaching actually is assumed under psychology. So every psychologist is a coach, can be a coach.
Okay.
Coaching's part of that. So that that protocol of coaching is part of psychotherapy. So, yeah, and what that therapy is called often is called insight therapy or supportive therapy, where the person really wants to explore and expand what they understand about themselves and the world and just feel more and more comfortable. You know, there's really for every, and, you know, think about this for a minute, for every human being, either you feel safe or you don't feel safe. And that's a universal thing. There are a lot of reasons for feeling safe and not safe, but that topic's really important. So if you're feeling safe, you can expand, and it's exciting and wonderful. If you're not feeling safe, then the focus, for whatever reason, you're in physical pain or you're scared or you just don't have the skills to interact with people, you have a phobia, et cetera, if you're not feeling safe, you address that first. How do you feel safe in the world? Now, you know, goal of psychotherapy is you do it yourself. You learn the tools so you don't have to have your hand held the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you will learn new tools and new ways of understanding things that help you expand. You feel like you have, instead of 5 things that work for you, you have 25. So you feel much more safe, much more expansive, much more yourself, and much more accepting of yourself because you can relax and enjoy the combination that you are.
Well, like,
Rachel,
sign me up.
Yeah. Well, I listeners, they tend to be seekers, and what I've experienced is a lot of people know they need, but they aren't sure how to go.
I hear you being fuzzy.
Anybody?
Yeah.
So, what would you suggest? How would they start that process?
Well,
maybe could you start over again
because
you were going
in and out.
Oh, all right. So I know there are a lot of people, well, people that listen to these podcasts are seekers, and they realize they need some support, but they don't know how to go about getting a psychologist or a coach or some kind of a support person. How would you recommend people start that process?
Yeah, I love, there's a thing, and it depends on where you're located in the country, obviously. I love Energy Therapy Network, and I love the professional groups. So, for instance, ASAP, Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology, so it's ACEP, they'll have a list of people and their specialties and where they're located, what their favorite things to work with people, you know, what that list is. You start exploring, I would do online. I love word of mouth, so you literally just stop. You start talking about, with anybody who will listen, does anybody know anybody who does more than talk therapy or is into holistic stuff? Because often people, you just pop up in their head because it's a unique thing right now, I'm going to say. But I love the professional groups because they've already cleared people that are members. You know, so you know they're licensed. You know they've taken training. You know they're really into the topics that you want to explore.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get into what got you into doing holistic as opposed to maybe being a regular psychotherapist?
Yeah. I didn't really know. It's funny. I feel like it's happened in layers over time. Didn't really know what holistic was, but I knew in school, like undergrad, I was interested in pre-med, and I was going to be, you know, I love working with people, and I love science, and I thought, oh, this is a good combination, and I was doing pre-med classes, and I'd go into the classes, and everyone was really cold and serious, and nobody was talking to anybody, and they had stacks of books on the desk. This is back in the 80s. And they had books and not just computers, you know, and I took an elective in psychology and, you know, because you had to take electives, fine. And I went into the psychology class and everyone's laughing and talking and discussing what they read last night. So exploring, right away exploring. And they greeted me by my name, which how did they know my name? I don't know. It's just that's the type of people they were. And I remember thinking, I just walking down the hallway to my, you know, a chemistry class going, who do I want to spend my life working with? Who do I want to be my colleague? Because it seemed like night and day focus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I switched to psychology, loved it, didn't know what I was going to do with it, went into drug and alcohol, you know, therapy, counseling stuff. And in that program, I met people that were getting a doctorate in clinical psychology, and they had specialties. And I thought, ooh, what is this? You know, they seem like they know what they're doing. It seems like an interesting area. And I found out, which turned out to be perfect, that there is a specialty called health psychology, which completely includes the physical body and physical health. So it's like the best of both worlds. I'm like, oh, I have found my area. This is a niche. Very exciting. And, you know, it kind of referenced what you said earlier. Health psychology was actually around for, you know, 20, 30 years before I discovered it. It's just that nobody really talked about it. They were just using it. And you would tend to be more in the hospital setting. So you'd be working with the physicians and other practitioners that are in a hospital. So it was all new to me. I didn't know it existed. And then in the hospital, it's called behavioral health, which means how you are thinking and feeling affects your body and how you heal and how much pain you feel. And, you know, whether something new develops, how sick you stay, or if you develop new illnesses. And then also, again, how all those symptoms affect how you feel and how you think. So I was learning all these techniques. I was at the Philadelphia VA, and I learned about EMDR, which I'm not going to say it. It's just EMDR. That's what people call it. Don't say the whole thing. It's not worth it. And we were, you know, doing that with vets who had physical pain or trauma and didn't want to do straight talk therapy. Because if you, you know, think back to what we're talking about, there's a lot of people that like to chit-chat. Vets don't tend to be in that group. You know, they want to get stuff done. They have lives. They have focus. They have talents. Let's move it. So EMDR was perfect. Because it wasn't talk therapy. It involved a physical thing. It involved focusing on what you want to change, not a lot of feedback. You balanced out your body. Your body knows how to heal. It took care of the trauma. You felt better. You thought better. And I watched it work so quickly and so smoothly for people that really didn't even want to be there. And I thought, ooh, there's more than talk therapy here. You know, it was very obvious. And then I went out into, you know, private practice in Pennsylvania. And I will tell you this also in my examples. These are composites of people. So there's not, if you think you recognize yourself, it's not you. It's a bunch of people. Okay, so don't worry that I'm, you know, spilling your whole chart here. But I had a contract with the Postal Service. And they, too, do not love talk therapy. And, you know, somebody who has a, and this is common, a dog phobia. Because they were literally bitten by a dog and now can't do their job. They're mail carriers. There's dogs everywhere. They can't do it, so their work, you know, sends them to therapy. They do not want to chit-chat. They just want to get back to work. So I had to seek out other techniques like biofeedback, calming down your own body so you can change your thoughts. Really hard to change thoughts when you're very, very unsafe and very anxious. So biofeedback, the EMDR work, some guided imagery, some breathing techniques. All of these things didn't have to do with someone's mother and how their childhood was. It had to do with balancing out your body so that your brain could balance, so your thoughts could balance and your emotions would feel better. So I kind of added stuff in naturally, and I would just add more and more techniques in and talk to more and more people about how they treated others, you know, like through acupuncture. If you, you know, have any experience with acupuncture, it helps you balance out your body and your emotions. So you're more open to thinking new ways about yourself and the world. It's a lovely combination. So I would explore more for my clients to see, hey, what else will work besides talk therapy? Which, by the way, talk therapy works. You have to be interested in doing that. And not everybody is. But everyone is interested in being happier and healthier and more balanced. So over time, I realized, oh, I guess this is what holistic is. Now, is it officially behavioral medicine? Yeah. And is it health psychology? Yep. And to the rest of the world, does that mean anything? Nope. So holistic, right? You have to find holistic, like Amy was saying, you know, seekers. That holistic, that goes ding, ding, ding in your head, like, ooh, what else is there? And so that means chances are there's techniques that you're going to, ooh, I would love to try that, because it will most likely work with you. When you're drawn to something, it's most likely a good fit for you. That's why you're drawn to it.
Right.
It's something you
right.
learn.
Well, Rachel, we've got like 30 seconds left. How can people get a hold of you? Now, she's in the Las Vegas area, so, you know, if you feel like, gosh, I got to talk to Dr. Sand here, I'm going to fly to Las Vegas. I mean, we totally encourage you to do that. And
Oh, that'd be fun. And have a vacation. Yep.
Exactly. And you're, you know, you definitely guaranteed to feel better when you're leaving Las Vegas, that's for sure. And it doesn't have to stay in Vegas, you know. It doesn't have to be what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Take it wherever
it can go home with you. It's okay. So how can people get a hold of you, Rachel?
Yeah, email is the best. It's help@rachelsand.com, and Rachel is rachelsand.com. So health@rachelsand.com. You can always call me, area code 267-250-9864, 267-250-9864. Email is the easiest because it doesn't matter which coast you're on for time.
So, yeah, this really gives everybody an opportunity here to tap into your internal resources. And, oh, my gosh, there's just a gambit of them, you know, just from what you've been sharing, Dr. Rachel. So I just really want to, you know, thank you for being our special guest chef. Mm-hmm. And as always, thank Amy, Miss Amy for joining us as well. And, you know, if you go to the transformation-cafe.com for any extra information, we'll be looking for that. If you have any questions or comments or things that you'd like to pass on to Dr. Rachel, we'll make sure that you get them. And we just want to, you know, thank you for joining us with our international cafe that we have here. So thank you for joining us. You guys have a wonderful day.
Yes.
All right,
Thanks
we'll see
again.
You next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.